It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sorry about that, everybody. Little delay. Yesterday during the drop tournament, I broke my headset. We tried a backup pair there. That didn't work. So right. Kenny came in.
Because the teardrop lost, so you just broke the headset?
No, they just innocently fell. And then Kenny had to run in here like an F1 pit crew handing in a new headset. So we'll get to it. Dude, we have a lot of stuff today. Like a lot. Maybe it's because we did the drop tournament yesterday.
I don't know. Or maybe it's the Valenti World Tour.
Yes, it's going to begin tomorrow. But I am locked in.
I know you are.
We are going to have some fun because I thought yesterday, Rico, Lions are going to be the main deal at 3. Camp is open, and I think there's some questions, and I want to give you an opportunity for the first of what's going to be many receipt segments. So we're going to have some fun because I got some questions as camp opens. But I wanted to start with this, and we can kind of put a bow on it. With regards to the Tigers, because yesterday surprised me. We did a straw poll in concert with the Stoney and Mojo Drop Tournament, and I was very, very surprised at the people's answers to one of the two questions, and it was this. For weeks, you've been made to feel like you're being negative or you're toxic or you're a hater if you don't believe this team is in a pennant chase. And yesterday we did the straw poll. Hey, are they authentically in the chase? I was stunned by the answer. No, 50 no votes, 12 yes, 50 to 12. Yeah. And I was really surprised. So I said, okay, I want to open the show with this. When I return from Saratoga sabbatical, if I return from Saratoga sabbatical, if.
You hit that trifecta, you out of here.
It would have to be a lot more than a trifecta, but I love where your head is at. Let's go with pick sixes.
Okay.
But here's the deal. When I come back, if I come back, on the 5th, I want people to play the role of Miss Cleo, minus the fake accent. I want to know, what is the conversation when I come back? Reminder, it'll be just 4 or 5 days after the trade deadline. They will have finished the series against the Guardians. They will have played the Twins. They will play Cleveland again. They're 6 games out right now. They're, what, 2 games under 500? Are they in a better position? Are they in a worse position? Is it more of the frustrating same where you're not out of it, but you're not in it?
Purgatory.
Will they have traded Scooble? Will they have not? Will Flaherty be here? I read an article last night. There's a, quote, robust market for Mark Canha.
What?
Apparently desperation's in the air. I just would love to know from people. I want you to predict the future. Not a month out. Certainly not, you know, first day or two of October. I'm talking just August 5th, if I come back from Saratoga. What are we talking about with your baseball team?
248-539-9797. Call me now!
Call me! By the way, the Miss Cleo documentary is excellent. I just want to throw that out there.
You keep it.
It's excellent.
Where is it?
I think it's Netflix.
Okay. I'm
gonna find it. It's excellent. Okay. It's sad, though. Whatever. It's for a later
day. Call me now!
Right. It's an absurd, Kenny, you'd have to look up who this is. I know you weren't a child of the 90s, but I want to know from the people. So,
where will the Tigers be? Oh, call me now.
Oh, no. I never should have used that reference, should I? But like, okay, here's what I see. I don't think they're trading Scooble. And I'm going to go ahead and make a bad assumption. Flaherty will be gone. Carson Kelly will be gone.
Canha?
Jason Foley will be gone. Mark Canha will be gone.
I didn't know that there was a market for him.
Everybody needs a backup outfielder. The difference is you hit this stiff third. That's the problem.
Okay.
I mean, if I'm a good team and I need a backup outfielder or a guy I can slot in to hit eighth or ninth, he'll get on base a little bit in a better lineup. I could – look, you ain't going to get much for him. You might get, like, Kenny's lunch. But I would like to know where we are August 5th. Not quite 2 weeks away, but what is it? Like, are we walking back into a pennant chase with excitement and with energy and with, I can't believe this is happening? Are we walking, am I walking back into a funeral where the Tiger's body is laid in a box with a pizza spear and it's over and they've been picked clean from parts? Or is it the worst case scenario? The worst case is purgatory. They don't do anything at the deadline, good or bad. They're not that much closer or that much further away. And they're just sitting there like Kenny after nine beers, barely conscious.
And everybody's still here?
Yes.
Hi, it's me again.
It's the trade deadline.
Yeah.
Yep.
And did you move me? No, we didn't. We're good. We got new showers, though.
New scoreboard.
Yeah.
Huh? I'm sitting in the team headquarters.
Got the home run pizza stick. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I would like to know where people are at. 248-539-9797. As Saratoga sabbatical begins tomorrow, what am I walking back into August 5th? And it's less about what you want to happen, more about what you think will happen. Look, maybe you think they keep playing good ball right up till the trade deadline. Maybe they get tantalizingly close. Say it.
Yeah.
Who gets traded? Who stays? Just, I want to do this so we can do a receipt segment when I get back, too. That'll be fun.
Oh, that, oh, okay.
Instant receipts.
Because mine is not a gosh darn thing.
No.
Nothing will happen.
They hold?
They will hold. Everybody will stay in place, and they're going to just ride this mediocrity in a fight to get to 500 to end the season. That's it. That's all you're going to get. I don't think Scott Harris is going to make a move.
Oh, God.
I would like to believe so, Mike, but every time he's showing me he's not. Nothing significant. So all your pieces are going to be here. You'll just be the same Tigers you were before you left, pre not hitting the pick six. You'll just come back to Sad Bowl, which is the Detroit Tigers. I don't think my speculation, nothing.
Okay, I will say this, David. If Rico's right, and I walk back in here on August 5th and it's nothing, they didn't deal what they could deal to get some lottery tickets, they stuck around a little bit, that's the worst case scenario, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think it is the worst case scenario, but I also agree with Rico. I somewhat believe that they're not going to make any moves. I just don't see it happening.
Wait a minute. You don't think they're trading Jack Flaherty? Get the receipts right now.
No, I don't.
Flaherty's a no for you. Kenny, is Flaherty a yes or a no for you? That's a yes. Rico, it's a no for you.
It's a no.
All right, that's a yes for me. Urshela, how about this? Any two of the players I'm listing, just any two, because it's not fair to be like, oh, you said no on Urshela. Urshela, Canna, Kelly, Foley, pick. Literally, Chafin, pick. Do they trade at least two non-Jack Flaherty players? Yes or no? You're saying no?
I'm saying no.
Because okay, that's okay.
No, 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 because in their world, we're building something. We got the young guys, and I don't want to trade anything because this is all about to fall into place.
Okay.
That's the mindset.
Even guys now, that you don't have signed.
Yes. No, I don't think that it's the smart thing to do, but I'm trying to think like Scott Harris and the Tigers, and I'm saying, no, we stand pat.
Kenny.
There will be at least two non-Flaherty players traded. I have, if there's that robust of a market for Canna, goodbye, and then maybe like a Foley or a Chafin. Yeah.
I'm with you. I will say yes to that as well. I think they're selling. Now, what does it mean for their record? Look, if they trade Carson Kelly, I don't think there's a big fall off. You would call up Dylan Dingler, who's been hitting. He would be the backup to Jake Rogers. You'd be okay there. What does Mark Canna really matter? He doesn't. You know, what is Gio Urshela? I can't sit here and act like that's going to really hurt you. What is going to hurt you is if Jack Flaherty is gone, while Reese Olson is out, you've got two starters and three bullpen days a week. You saw it again last night. I mean, bullpen days against teams that are halfway functional, a.k.a. not the A's or White Sox, it's going to be real tough to win those nights. But I'd love to know, right, when we get back on the 5th, when I get back on the 5th, are they closer to the wild card or further away?
Because if they trade...
Aha!
No.
Mullet. Mullet over. Oh. Take your time. We're at 6. Mullet over. I want to throw it to the people. Okay. I want you to really think, because I'm telling you, I think they might be closer.
Closer to?
The wild card.
Hmm.
They're very annoying in that regard. Because you know it won't end up in anything substantive.
Right, but if they're closer to the wild card, nobody moves.
No. You still got to be a steward of the organization. You got to trade. Well, hey.
Do you?
This is a proving ground for Scott Harris. This is exactly what you want as a radio host. A proving ground for your GM who largely hides underground.
And I feel like Scott Harris is at the bat playing the role of Javi Baez while Sister Jean is on the mound. He's about to swing and miss.
Against Sister Jean?
The meme, Mike.
Oh. Okay, I'm sorry. Dude, I'm sorry. My life is not... memes.
I've shown you this before.
Okay, I get the reference now. I was like, wait, Sister Jean is firing gas up there? Like, what are we doing? She's throwing 98 on the black?
He's pitching for the Guardians tonight.
Yeah, I'm like, who needs Tanner Bibee? I have a lady in a wheelchair.
It's her and 50 Cent on the mound.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valenti, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, bottom of the hour. Rico actually just added something to the sheet. I think it's interesting, and it's worth one segment. It is a season win total for one of our local teams, and it is the most bet season total in its respective sport of the summer. And it's not the Lions. We'll get to it, bottom of the hour. David, a few ticket texts will knock down a few calls. Just putting a bow on the Tigers from yesterday's show. No Scooble stuff. I'm bored of it. I don't believe they're trading him. And until I see this has been offered, you're not going to get a reaction. Now, if it happens while I'm on vacation and David or Rico want a reaction, I'm sure I could give you one, even if it's just a picture, likely a middle finger. But I can play ball.
Man, I want your vacation to not be like mine and David's and be uneventful. Because the world came to an end when we took off.
Yeah, both of you. It was
just one day later.
It was jarring. David, the ticket text first. What do you got?
August 5th. Nothing more to talk about but next year at this point. Once the trade deadline talks are over, the team will cool off and return to being mediocre. John in Auburn Hills says, hey, guys, when if Mike gets back from Saratoga, we will be talking about Jack Flaherty and Matt Marcana being traded. Also, Javi Baez being DFA'd and working at Home Depot.
I can't wait for that day.
Here's the thing. If this team thinks that they're going to actually compete for the wild card, you can't trade Flaherty. You can't trade anybody because these are the pieces that you have used to get to this point.
If
you
lose these,
if anything, you would have to go out and actually buy some players and bring in some pieces.
But that's also why yesterday surprised me. I really thought more people would say that they do believe they're loosely in it, that they're fringy. It was 50-12 flat. No, we're not in it. Because a lot of people were like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, you're not really in the wild card, I think, until you're like three and a half games, where a good week and it could catapult you in there. But right now they lost too many games early that they're on this hot streak. They're still six and a half games back. Yeah. So, and you know that they're not going to maintain at this level. They will cool off because that's just, it's baseball. So therefore, as much as you would like, if you trade Flaherty, you're throwing in the towel for the season. And if that's the case, I don't think the Tigers are going to do that. I think that they're too arrogant to believe that they are not going to be in this wild card chase. So they're going to keep things status quo from the world headquarters.
David.
Doug and Scott had me convinced that we just need to trade everybody, and then in about 34 years, the Tigers will be worth watching again.
What did they do?
3 to 4 years. I don't know if it's 34 years.
What did they do to upset you so greatly here? What am I missing?
I guess they were talking about resetting the team. So I guess this guy doesn't want the team reset. Wants to win now.
Noted.
Andrew in Detroit. Rico hit the nail on the head. Scott Harris trusting whatever process he has, and it won't change a thing. I cannot trust him right now.
And like I said, this isn't me. I'm thinking like Scott Harris. And I think that he believes that he is so close that everybody stays. We're going to go out here. Hey, guys, we had a great couple of weeks. We can continue this and really make a push.
Tigers aren't in it, and Harris is going to go all Avila and not make any trades with the excuse he thought they had a shot.
I'll tell you this. I think the problem here's a topic for another day. But if you want to bring the entire fan base together, whether you are on the trade Scooble front or keep them, you need to be united in one thing. And I mean this. I don't think there is a credible argument to the contrary of what I'm about to say. And that's not out of ego or anything. I'm just shooting you straight. If you keep Scooble, it's time for your owner to get serious. If you trade Scooble, it's time for your owner to get serious. I don't need a pizza spear. I need money. It's time to spend. I would think we could all rally around that. If they have another offseason, like last offseason, you can take your team and go to Nashville. I mean, you can seriously just pack it up. Because they're not a bad baseball team, Rico. They're not bad. I also don't think they're good, but they're not the A's. They're not the White Sox. They're not the Marlins. They're not one of these wretched dog water teams.
No, but I think the problem is, Mike, you almost need this team to be either really bad or really good, because then they would realize, okay, either we got something here or, man, we are so far away from a winning competitive team, we have to make changes. But when you're sitting there in purgatory, when you're sitting there in mediocrity, you always think that, you know what, if this guy could just get hot and wait till this guy comes up from the minors, then that will be the key piece. And that's been the difference in all of this, is you almost need them just to tank so Scott Harris can say, yeah, I got to start all over again.
I have to tell you, David, this replacement headset is plush. Downright luxurious.
Yeah, better hit my hands before you leave and not your bag.
Okay, noted. Let's go to Juan, 97.1. Juan, how are you?
What's up, fellas?
How are you, sir?
All right. I think we got a slight chance of the playoff. The only reason I say that is because we're facing two teams that's in our division, and I know we still have to play them. But on the trade thing, guys, I'm all for listening, but you keep Scooble. I mean, in my opinion, we haven't been the same since 14. In 14, we let Scherzer go. So if we do give up Flaherty and Scooble, who the hell is going to be our ace or pitchers next year? So now you got a bunch of bats with no pitchers, and you back to square one. So I understand you listen to the offers, but if you give up your two best pitchers now, what are we looking for next year? We already said a guy don't spend any money, so who are we going to sign, or, you know, what is going to happen with our pitching staff next year or year after that?
Okay. I hear where you're at. I don't want to do the topic today. I'm not interested. But for your call, let me at least explain it. My belief is it will be easier to find pitching based upon the credibility you have developing pitchers with Chris Fetter, AJ Hinch, the Brain Trust. I think it's an easier pathway to replace pitching than it's going to be to replace hitting. Part of that also is, I don't know who the hell you're signing in this upcoming free agent class. I mean, if you say, well, I want a third baseman, do you really want to be in the Alex Bregman business? And would he come here? Do you want Willie Adames homecoming? North of $20 million a year. He's already making 13, guys. He's going to be the highest paid shortstop on the market. Then you'd have almost $50 million invested in Javi and him. You know, who? I don't think you're signing Pete Alonso. Nor do I think Pete Alonso is, you know, lied awake at night with a boner dreaming of playing in Detroit.
No.
You know, no, I don't. I don't think he was a wreck thinking of the Rensen. So I just don't know.
A new version of the Rensen.
That's right. That, you know what? In fact, you're right. So I'm not afraid like some of you. I actually trust the organization to find pitching. And I actually can work my way to leveraging the fact that I have Jackson Jobe against the fact that I'd be dealing pitching. But you guys have every right to be afraid and say, no, let's go spend on bats. Okay, show me. Had a third baseman that was pretty affordable for you last year. You didn't want him. Had a DH that was very affordable. You didn't pick up the phone. And there was something you could have done in the draft that you didn't do, but I'm not saying it.
I was about to say, you only get one.
I know, I'm not using it yet.
Okay.
All right. Rico has an interesting note before we get to a little football today. Top of the hour, the Lions take the main stage. Camp is open. I have a bold declaration I want to start the season with, and we're going to have some fun. Football in the air. Oh, by the way, 4 o'clock, I probably will hit Rico with a chair. It's going to come out of a college football today.
I was about to say, no, I'm going to have to go Cat Williams. That was the winner, not this year.
You may agree with me.
Oh.
Really?
No, Cat Williams. No, oh. No.
Well, I'll just wait till you're doing a read. You won't see it coming. All right, perfect. 97.1. All right, we'll get to a football today in about 10 minutes, and then the Lions, for the first time in a while, camp is open. We've got some I have a bold declaration I'd like to make. And I just wonder, Rico's going to keep receipts. I wonder who wants to ride with me on this. We'll get to it. But you have something, sir. You have a piece of news, and I want you to share it with everybody. It's a fun one-segment talker.
Yeah, Mike, I've gotten this from multiple people now, including over on the J side. The Detroit, according to BetMGM, the Detroit Pistons, over 24.5 wins is the most bet NBA season win total this offseason. 95% of the bets and 97% of the money are on the over.
Okay. Now, I think some of that is
back.
It's common sense. They just can't be that bad again. But the fact that Vegas put 24.5 out there is what is very jarring. They're not in the business of easy. They're not in the business of discounts. It's like if you approach Michigan State's win total of 4.5 as free money. You know what? He's the champion. No. Vegas doesn't make it easy. So I'm with you that sitting here, my initial reaction is, come on, they got to win at least 25 games. Jesus. Mind you, 25-52 is you don't get a gold star.
I mean, when you add the 52, it does sound a lot worse. But yeah, 25 wins sounds better than 25-52.
It'd actually be 25-57. I'd like to apologize on that. 25-57. But what was that? What?
And he's going crazy over a bet. Jesus Christ.
What happened? What's wrong?
Olympic soccer.
Wait, no.
No. I had a couple extra minutes on my hands this afternoon, and I placed a couple of small, very small wagers on Olympic soccer. It's on. I'm going to probably bet on the USA. They're starting at 3, I believe.
I like a horse in the 5th race at Saratoga. It's 10-1. How about we do that?
Okay.
How about something that we know something about?
I don't know anything about this, but they just scored, so I got pretty excited about that.
I could tell. I could hear it through bulletproof glass.
Apologies.
Thank you. All right, Rico, back to the thing. So hold on.
95% of the bets, 95% of the...
Right now, let's get real.
Mm-hmm.
And PSA, I'm not encouraging anyone to do this. It would be irresponsible to do it. But for the sake of radio, I'm going to ask Rico a provocative question. 3 months mortgage payment, and you got to bet over or under. Let's get... Now, you would never do this, nor should anyone.
No.
But I'm saying... You got to take that quarterly mortgage note and you go over or under. Is it that much of a cinch you would go over? See, only in terms like this can you get a real answer.
No.
So you don't view it as a sure thing.
I don't.
See? That's not Kenny's Olympic soccer. That's a different thing.
No. Because that means, man, if Cade goes down.
That's why I don't like future bets.
Oh,
but I'm making a point to you. If I would feel better about it had Vegas lobbed a 30 out there. I know that's counterintuitive where you're like, wait, why would you want a higher number? Because I do believe the odds makers know more than us. The odds makers, algorithmically, they're not just throwing numbers out there. And no, it's not that they don't get things wrong. It's that they usually are right on. And if they're wrong, it ain't by much. 24.5 is scary as hell.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, I don't think any of us expect them to be even mediocre, much less good. But can you imagine another year and they're 24-58? That's what we got. That's we signed Cade's extension. We brought in Tobias and some dead bodies, and you know the young guys will develop. Will they? Fun. We'll take that. How you living? So look, I thought it was interesting, but I'm not with the people running to the window and going, "Oh, over easy." No, when you put the 3 months mortgage on it, it's going to give you some pause, and you go, "Why would the odds makers have this so low?" Is it because they like me?
No, because, Mike, when you say the 25, it sounds easy.
Yeah, doesn't it?
But when you attach the losing part to it, that's when you're like, whoa, wait. They're going to be awful. That means they can't sustain any injuries.
Right.
And then they'll hit 25.
You just have to be a shade over 3 wins a month to get to 25.
I was just
wins.
About to break it down. Like, how many wins per month? Yeah, three wins.
3.5.
Mike, does the fact that it's that heavy, I mean, you're the betting guy out of all of us. If the fact that it's that heavily bet upon on one side make
terrifies
you think,
me.
Vegas has to know something here. Otherwise, it wouldn't be that lopsided.
It terrifies me.
Yeah.
I'm with you. Kenny, I would have felt better
but
if the
Sharks are on there.
No. I'm just saying. Look, maybe it's easy money. Maybe everyone got a free roll from the odds makers. But I'm actually more scared the number's that low. It's the same thing with Michigan State. Michigan State football's over-under is 4.5, and you go, whoa, stop the clock. Come on, look at the schedule. They got to win at least 5 games, which, by the way, still absolute ass. But when you look at it, what was the over-under last year? 5.5. You know what I contend? They knew about Mel Tucker before anyone else.
And you always say this, Vegas doesn't give away free rolls. The lights are bright for a reason, like you always say. I mean, there's no way that that's
look at in the NFL.
How come you never see
win totals of 13 or 12.5? Go ahead.
They knew about Tucker in the hotel room or just Tucker getting fired?
I bet you they knew about the hotel room and where it would lead and that he, in their mind, in pricing the line, remember, to bet the over, they were begging you to bet the over at like plus 160. The under was juiced, and nobody could figure out why. I bet you they knew Mel Tucker wasn't going to last the first couple weeks of the season. Yes, if you think that's tinfoil, work with me.
No, at this point, this is why I say I just don't understand why they don't all come together and cure cancer. Because apparently the most
smartest
people...
Well, it's cheaper to treat cancer than cure it. I think that's why there's no cure.
Smartest people in the world live in Vegas, because they just
But their job is making money. They don't care about people dying. They want money.
I guess.
I mean, I'm just saying. I mean, it's
more people alive, more people bet.
Perfect. I want you at the next gambling convention. Rico's main speech, more people live, more people bet.
I want that by
R.L. Beer.
I want that on the next campaign.
Yes. David, couple ticket texts and we'll get to a little football today.
Pistons, 22 wins, so I take the under. Steve Armada, somebody says, under Mike, book it. Under 24.5 is a lock.
See?
One person. Pistons over 24.5 all day. New coach worth 6-plus wins. Functional wings for spacing worth 8-plus wins. 28 wins, probably the reality.
Now, mind you, is anyone excited about 28 wins?
Mm-mm.
See, this is where
fact that I don't want to have to sweat out a quarterly mortgage payment.
Right.
On this.
No.
On this team.
Would never, ever. I was doing it just for effect.
No, but that put it in perspective when you start thinking like that. Or if you said, okay, put 3 car notes down on this team.
It's what I do to Cookies all the time because he gets all hopped up and he's a degen. And it's like, no, Jim, hold on. Back up for a second.
Let's talk real stakes. You got to explain to your wife if this goes sideways, that you really hurt your financial position. Now, what do you think about this game? I always have to reel them in. It's like a dog on a collar. And I just got to be like, uh-uh, we're going this way. So that's all. But think about this. And this will be my last thing with it. What bothers me the most about the offseason they had, it isn't the fact that they're not going to be that good. That's not on Trajan Langdon. It's that they didn't stock the war chest to greatly alter their future. Think about it. Let's say they go 27-55. Hey, you hit your over. 27-55. You're not within 10 games of the play-in. You don't have first-round picks. You still owe the Knicks one. How did we truly improve? Well, we developed some of the kids. If it's 27-55 and Ron Holland does the unthinkable and plays 15, 17 minutes a night, believe it or not, I'd actually be kind of positive about it. But Rico, I don't know if Ron Holland's playing this year. I think the best thing they could do for the young man is put him in the G League for until Christmas, at least. No, I'm just saying. No. I mean, he's a kid.
I'm thinking Easter, but okay.
All right. Ron Holland has risen along with JC. 2-4-8. All right, so there you go. There's your one segment. Barriga, be careful. 24.5 looks too easy. That ain't how it works. 248-539-9797. Get a little football today next. All right, David, dealer's choice. We got a blitz. You tell me where we're going with it. I know the fashion glasses are on, so it's got to be serious.
It's not serious at all. It's going to be a wrap-up to the tournament.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yes. Yesterday's Stoney and Wojo Invitational, if you missed it, Odyssey.com Rewind. But, David, what? You've put together some issues to raise?
Some things here, yeah. So, Cat Williams won the tournament. But Rico repeatedly told me that he thought that Cat Williams was underseeded and it should have been flipped with Rico Danger. The fact that it won Rico, does that mean it didn't matter where it was seated?
I guess not, David. I guess it was going to win no matter what. I just thought that respect-wise, it needed to be 2, and the Russell Wilson Danger should have been 15.
It's a lot like Michigan football cheating, it sounds like.
Nothing to do with Michigan whatsoever.
Seriously.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we'll get to a football today in about 10 minutes, and then the Lions, for the first time in a while. Camp is open. We've got some... I have a bold declaration I'd like to make. And I just wonder, Rico's going to keep receipts. I wonder who wants to ride with me on this. We'll get to it. But you have something, sir. You have a piece of news, and I want you to share it with everybody. It's a fun one-segment talker.
Yeah, Mike, I've gotten this from multiple people now, including over on the J side. The Detroit, according to BetMGM, the Detroit Pistons, over 24.5 wins is the most bet NBA season win total this offseason. 95% of the bets and 97% of the money are on the over.
Okay. Now, I think some of that is
back.
It's common sense. They just can't be that bad again. But the fact that Vegas put 24.5 out there is what is very jarring. They're not in the business of easy. They're not in the business of discounts. It's like if you approach Michigan State's win total of 4.5 as free money. You know what? He's the champion. No. Vegas doesn't make it easy. So I'm with you that sitting here, my initial reaction is, come on, they got to win at least 25 games. Jesus. Mind you, 25-52 is you know, you don't get a gold star.
I mean, when you add the 52, it does sound a lot worse. Yeah, 25 wins sounds better than 25 and 57.
It'd actually be 25 and 57. I'd like to apologize on that. 25 and 57. But what was that? What?
And he's going crazy over a bet. Jesus Christ.
What happened? What's wrong?
Olympic soccer.
Wait, no.
No. I had a couple extra minutes on my hands this afternoon, and I placed a couple of small, very small wagers on Olympic soccer. It's on. I'm going to probably bet on the USA. They're starting at 3, I believe.
I like a horse in the fifth race at Saratoga. It's 10-1. How about we do that?
Okay.
How about something that we know something about?
I don't know anything about this, but they just scored, so I got pretty excited about that.
I could tell. I could hear it through bulletproof glass.
Apologies.
Thank you. All right, Rico, back to the thing. So hold on.
95% of the bets, 95% of the...
Right now, let's get real.
Mm-hmm.
And PSA, I'm not encouraging anyone to do this. It would be irresponsible to do it. But for the sake of radio, I'm going to ask Rico a provocative question. 3 months mortgage payment, and you got to bet over or under. Now, you would never do this, nor should anyone.
No.
But I'm saying... You got to take that quarterly mortgage note and you go over or under. Is it that much of a cinch you would go over? See, only in terms like this can you get a real answer.
No.
So you wouldn't. So you don't view it as a sure thing.
I don't.
See? That's not Kenny's Olympic soccer. That's a different thing.
No. Because that means, man... If Cade goes down...
That's why I don't like future bets.
Oh,
but I'm making a point to you. If I would feel better about it had Vegas lobbed a 30 out there. I know that's counterintuitive where you're like, wait, why would you want a higher number? Because I do believe the odds makers know more than us. The odds makers, algorithmically, they're not just throwing numbers out there. And no, it's not that they don't get things wrong. It's that they usually are right on. And if they're wrong, it ain't by much. 24.5 is scary as hell.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, I don't think any of us expect them to be even mediocre, much less good. But can you imagine another year and they're 24-58? That's what we got. That's we signed Cade's extension. We brought in Tobias and some dead bodies, and you know the young guys will develop. Will they? Fun. We'll take that. How you living? So look, I thought it was interesting, but I'm not with the people running to the window and going, "Oh, over easy." No, when you put the 3 months mortgage on it, it's going to give you some pause, and you go, "Why would the odds makers have this so low?" Is it because they like me?
No, because, Mike, when you say the 25, it sounds easy.
Yeah, doesn't it?
But when you attach the losing part to it, that's when you're like, whoa, wait. They're going to be awful. That means they can't sustain any injuries.
Right.
And then they'll hit 25.
You just have to be a shade over 3 wins a month to get to 25.
I was just about to break it down. Like, how many wins per month? Yeah, three wins.
3.5.
Mike, does the fact that it's that heavy, I mean, you're the betting guy out of all of us. If the fact that it's that heavily bet upon on one side makes
terrifies
you think,
me.
Vegas has to know something here. Otherwise, it wouldn't be that lopsided.
It terrifies me.
Yeah.
I'm with you. Kenny, I would have felt better
if the Sharks are on there.
No. I'm just saying, look, maybe it's easy money. Maybe everyone got a free roll from the odds makers. But I'm actually more scared the number's that low. It's the same thing with Michigan State. Michigan State football's over-under is 4.5, and you go, whoa, stop the clock. Come on, look at the schedule. They got to win at least 5 games, which, by the way, still absolute ass. But when you look at it, what was the over-under last year? 5.5. You know what I contend? They knew about Mel Tucker before anyone else.
And you always say this, Vegas doesn't give away free rolls. The lights are bright for a reason, like you always say. I mean, there's no way that's
look at it in the accident. NFL.
How come you never
see win totals of 13 or 12.5? Go ahead.
They knew about Tucker in the hotel room or just Tucker getting fired?
I bet you they knew about the hotel room and where it would lead and that he, in their mind, in pricing the line, remember,
to bet the over, they were begging you to bet the over at like plus 160. The under was juiced, and nobody could figure out why. I bet you they knew Mel Tucker wasn't going to last the first couple weeks of the season. Yes, if you think that's tinfoil, work with me.
No, at this point, this is why I say I just don't understand why they don't all come together and cure cancer. Because apparently the most
smartest people... Well, it's cheaper to treat cancer than cure it. I think that's why there's no cure.
Smartest people in the world live in Vegas because they just...
Yeah, but their job is making money. They don't care about people dying. They want money.
I guess.
I mean, just saying. I mean, it's their
more people alive, more people bet.
Perfect. I want you at the next gambling convention. Rico's main speech... More people live, more people bet. By R.L. Beer.
I want that on the next campaign. Yes. Ad.
David, couple ticket texts and we'll get to a little football today.
Pistons, 22 wins, so I take the under. Steve Armada. Somebody says, under, Mike, book it. Under 24.5 is a lock.
See?
One person. Pistons over 24.5 all day. New coach worth 6-plus wins. Functional wings for spacing worth 8-plus wins. 28 wins, probably the reality.
Now, mind you, is anyone excited about 28 wins?
Mm-mm.
See, this is where the fact
that I don't want to have to sweat out a quarterly mortgage payment.
Right.
On this.
No.
On this team.
Would never, ever. I was doing it just for effect.
No, but that put it in perspective when you start thinking like that. Or if you said, okay, put 3 car notes down on this thing.
It's what I do to Cookies all the time because he gets all hopped up and he's a degen. And it's like, no, Jim, hold on. Back up for a second. Let's talk real stakes. You got to explain to your wife if this goes sideways, that you really hurt your financial position. Now, what do you think about this game? I always have to reel him in. It's like a dog on a collar. And I just got to be like, all right, we're going this way. So that's all. But think about this, and this will be my last thing with it. What bothers me the most about the offseason they had, it isn't the fact that they're not going to be that good. That's not on Trajan Langdon. It's that they didn't stock the war chest to greatly alter their future. Think about it. Let's say they go 27-55. Hey, you hit your over. 27-55. You're not within 10 games of the play-in. You don't have first-round picks. You still owe the Knicks one. How did we truly improve? Well, we developed some of the kids. If it's 27-55 and Ron Holland does the unthinkable and plays 15, 17 minutes a night, believe it or not, I'd actually be kind of positive about it. But Rico, I don't know if Ron Holland's playing this year. I think the best thing they could do for the young man is put him in the G League until Christmas, at least. No, I'm just saying, I mean, he's a kid.
I'm thinking Easter, but okay.
All right. Ron Holland has risen along with JC. 2-4-8. All right. So there you go. There's your one segment. Barriga, be careful. 24.5 looks too easy. That ain't how it works. 248-539-9797. Get a little football today next. All right, David. Dealer's choice. We got a blitz. You tell me where we're going with it. I know the fashion glasses are on, so it's got to be serious.
It's not serious at all. It's going to be a wrap-up to the tournament.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yes. Yesterday's Stoney and Wojo Invitational, if you missed it, Odyssey.com Rewind. But, David, what? You've put together some issues to raise?
Oh, I put together some things here, yeah. So, Cat Williams won the tournament. But Rico repeatedly told me that he thought that Cat Williams was underseeded and it should have been flipped with Rico Danger. The fact that it won Rico, does that mean it didn't matter where it was seated?
I guess not, David. I guess it was going to win no matter what. I just thought that respect-wise, it needed to be 2, and the Russell Wilson Danger should have been 15.
It's a lot like Michigan football cheating, it sounds like.
Nothing to do with Michigan whatsoever.
Seriously, guys, is someone going to tell me what to running? I don't know what I'm doing out here. Sorry.
So on surface, after that question, we know that you had a question regarding that. So did the committee get it right ultimately in everything with the seating, missing anything?
No, I think there was an egregious omission from the tournament, and it was caller Ron.
Yeah. Caller Ron's "Oh my God" drop in response to, in a serious manner, us saying, "Yeah, if Urban wanted the job, we'd take him." That was an omission that people were upset about, and rightfully so.
Were there any surprises?
You know what?
The fact that Black Jobs didn't make a run, and the fact that Kenny Kotz said he hated Black Jobs, that really was stunning.
The biggest surprise to me, not only that, was I thought they, like, the Wojo division was the easiest.
Yeah, the 16 songs there.
Yeah, because Mike's division with the chair drop was so stacked and loaded that I think had you put "Can I Get an Amen" in any other division, it would have made it to the Final Four.
Well, yeah, wow. In the Kenny Fire Iserman division, we had Hookers make the Elite Eight, which Hookers was a 12 seed. We had Cat Williams, of course, that was a 15 seed. Mine that made it, the impression of Fred Sanford, was a 14 seed.
Can I Get an Amen in that division, it would have been battling Cat Williams in the Elite Eight.
So outside of Black Jobs, are there any disappointments in your mind in this draft, other than that whole section being horrible in your mind?
It was, David. The fact that not only once, but twice, Cat Williams defeated the chair drop. Then the chair drop song. Vegas had the chair drop as minus, like, 350 going into this. Like, it was the winner. Everybody thought that. Book it. And it didn't. Made it all the way to the semifinal. And then the song, okay, maybe the song will win. No, the song did not win either. Because that may have been the most used drop this entire year was the chair drop.
Do you think there needs to be a new element with the selection committee? Because you say the Mike chair drop, the region there was so stacked. You think the committee just needs to spread the love a little bit?
I think Wojo would have to help out with it. I think it's too much pressure on Mike Stone. Wojo doesn't want to do seeding. And I just think that it's a critical element to getting a tournament right.
Yeah. And I think that maybe not just – it is like the group of five where you just have a certain bracket that's just songs. So, yeah, it means that one of them is going to be in the Final Four, and it may not be one of the best four drops. It just means they have
that
to
love
be.
inside the brackets,
so
maybe?
So you put them all throughout. So, yeah, you may have, you know, Kenny saying how much he loves Hookers going up against a song. And then we see.
That's fair, and I want to ask this question to Kenny, because it seems to happen every year where you create a new drop within the drop tournament. Here's your new one.
I'm going to need that.
Is your goal going into the tournament is to create a new one?
Well, first of all, the first one that happened was when Mike's Nuts song was eliminated, and I yelled, "I love these nuts." I guess it is turning into a...
Yeah, you're right. That's how that happened.
That happened the day of the tournament. Exactly. That was a genuine response. I wasn't trying to be a drop.
No, just like your hatred of Black Jobs.
That was me being intentionally obtuse. That wasn't serious. This is going to be like Fire Steve Eiserman all over again.
Here's the funny thing about the drop tournament, David. I equate Kenny to the Big Ten. A lot of entries into the tournament couldn't make it to the Final Four or win the whole thing.
Well, I said it to you yesterday. I think the Stephen A. one was the Oakland University of the tournament. They won one game they shouldn't have, and then they lost again.
Fair.
Very quickly.
Fair. I just wish caller Ron was a part of it.
That is amazing, Rico, that you say that. Kenny, you had Kenny Blacktop, didn't make it far. Kenny Fire Iserman, you had Kenny for show. You had a lot of drops in here that Kenny Jank, Kenny Cocktail.
Yeah, he's like the Big Ten when they get 10 teams in a tournament.
Quantity, not quality.
Yeah. You made the Final Four, man. What are you doing?
I'm sorry that I don't say enough dumb things. I can't go head-to-head with Cat Williams.
No. No, look, Cat, to me, I was rooting for it. I was rooting against the chair drop. I wanted Cat to win. I was very pleased the committee went that way.
Well, that leads me to my final question here that you say that. You were rooting for the chair drop to lose.
Yes.
So for each of us, Do you root for your own drop?
No.
Within the tournament?
No. I hate it.
No.
I goofed around and imitated Donald Sterling one time, and look what happened. No, I didn't want to go back to back because I got mad about Chase Young. No.
You know what? I don't, because, well, I knew the first one, that Russell Wilson would. I was like, okay, thank God, because that was stupid. It should never.
I love that one.
I would have opted out and put caller Ron in there instead of me, and I think it would have been a battle. Just first game, oh my God, versus Cat Williams instead of that. But no, what I've learned is, thanks to the drop tournament and looking at Kenny, you're careful what you say throughout the year.
Well, including Kenny's hatred of minority jobs.
I mean, hey, you know what? He may not have won yesterday, but maybe he did, David. Mike didn't take the cheese.
No.
I tried to get him to say something.
No, you wanted me to say the line from Trading Places, and I no, no way. No.
That's the thing. Kenny takes the cheese every tournament. Mike says, I'm not saying that at all.
All right.
No, because it's. I really wanted that.
No. David, the first time you could see the gears spinning, he was like, wait, no, I can say, oh, no, not saying it. Like, he almost said it, like, oh, so close.
Well, it was the gears were going in Wojo's mind because he didn't say it the first time it came around.
The cost of doing it is forever. I don't want that to be my drop. If Kenny hates minority jobs, that's his business. I do not want to be a part of that. Rico baiting me into saying the Dan Aykroyd line. No way.
What was the line again, David?
Nope. You can hit the button if you want it. It was said in a movie for a reason. Try to get me to say that?
That would have sent you off to Saratoga in style.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It would have been stellar. Every day I'm not here, it would have been played 50 times.
Yeah, then you really wouldn't have come back.
Oh, no, I promise you this. I would have gone into the lab. I would have made a song.
Oh, yeah. I know. I would. And again, shame on you if you didn't. But I wasn't. I say enough goofy stuff, you can get things. But I wasn't doing that. I'm not a wind-up toy.
Well, all I'll say is I learned that I work with someone back here behind the glass
right. That
is really trying to stab me in the back.
He wants to take your job from you.
Now I know. And it's good to have it up front and not wonder.
I always thought Kenny was a hillbilly.
Is that why you took the picture earlier today?
What happened?
Let's move on.
What happened?
Certain celebrity in the building.
Okay, leave it alone.
And on that note,
yep, that's
that
right.
Is your wrap-up, 97.1.
All right, David, dealer's choice. We got a blitz. You tell me where we're going with it. I know the fashion glasses are on, so it's got to be serious.
It's not serious at all. It's going to be a wrap-up to the tournament.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yes. Yesterday's Stoney and Wojo Invitational, if you missed it, Odyssey.com Rewind. But, David, what? You've put together some issues to raise?
Oh, I put together some things here, yeah. So, Cat Williams won the tournament, but Rico repeatedly told me that he thought that Cat Williams was underseeded and it should have been flipped with Rico Danger. The fact that it won Rico, does that mean it didn't matter where it was seated?
I guess not, David. I guess it was going to win no matter what. I just thought that respect-wise, it needed to be 2, and the Russell Wilson Danger should have been 15.
It's a lot like Michigan football cheating, it sounds like.
Nothing to do with Michigan whatsoever.
Seriously, guys, is someone going to tell me what to running? I don't know what I'm doing out here. Sorry.
So on surface, after that question, we know that you had a question regarding that. So did the committee get it right ultimately in everything with the seating, missing anything?
No, I think there was an egregious omission from the tournament, and it was caller Ron. Yeah. Caller Ron's oh my God drop in response to, in a serious manner, us saying, yeah, if Urban wanted the job, we'd take him. That was an omission that people were upset about. And rightfully so.
Were there any surprises?
You know what?
The fact that Black Jobs didn't make a run, and the fact that Kenny Kotz said he hated Black Jobs, that really was stunning.
The biggest surprise to me, not only that, was I thought they, like, the Wojo division was the easiest.
Yeah, the 16 songs there.
Yeah, because Mike's division with the chair drop was so stacked and loaded that I think had you put Can I Get an Amen in any other division, it would have made it to the Final Four.
Well, yeah, wow. In the Kenny Fire Iserman division, we had Hookers make the Elite Eight, which Hookers was a 12 seed. We had Cat Williams, of course, with that won it. That was a 15 seed. Mine that made it, the impression of Fred Sanford, was a 14 seed.
So Can I Get an Amen in that division, it would have been battling Cat Williams in the Elite Eight.
So outside of Black Jobs, are there any disappointments in your mind in this draft? Other than that whole section being horrible in your mind.
It was, David. The fact that not only once, but twice, Cat Williams defeated the chair drop. Then the chair drop song. Vegas had the chair drop as minus like 350 going into this. Like it was the winner. Everybody thought that, book it, and it didn't. Made it all the way to the semifinal, and then the song, okay, maybe the song will win. No, the song did not win either. Because that may have been the most used drop this entire year was the chair drop.
Do you think there needs to be a new element with the selection committee? Because you say the Mike chair drop, the region there was so stacked. You think the committee just needs to spread love a little bit?
I think Wojo would have to help out with it. I think it's too much pressure on Mike Stone. Wojo doesn't want to do seeding. And I just think that it's a critical element to getting a tournament right.
Yeah. And I think that maybe not just it is like the group of five where you just have a certain bracket that's just songs. So, yeah, it means that one of them is going to be in the Final Four, and it may not be one of the best four drops. It just means they have
that
to
love
be.
inside the bracket.
So
maybe
you put them all throughout. So, yeah, you may have, you know, Kenny saying how much he loves Hookers going up against a song. And then we see.
That's fair. And I want to ask this question to Kenny, because it seems to happen every year where you create a new drop within the drop tournament. Here's your new one.
I'm going to need that.
Is your goal going into the tournament is to create a new one?
Well, first of all, the first one that happened was when Mike's Nuts song was eliminated and I yelled, "I love these nuts." I guess it is turning into a...
Yeah, you're right. That's how that happened.
That happened the day of the tournament. Exactly. That was a genuine response. I wasn't trying to be a drop.
No, just like your hatred of Black Jobs.
That was me being intentionally obtuse. That wasn't serious. This is going to be like Fire Steve Eiserman over again.
Here's the funny thing about the drop tournament, David. I equate Kenny to the Big Ten. A lot of entries into the tournament couldn't make it to the Final Four or win the whole thing.
Well, I said it to you yesterday. I think the Stephen A. one was the Oakland University of the tournament. They won one game they shouldn't have, and then they lost again.
Fair.
Very quickly.
Fair. I just wish caller Ron was a part of it.
That is amazing, Rico, that you say that. Kenny, you had Kenny Blacktop, didn't make it far. Kenny Fire Iserman, you had Kenny for show. You had a lot of drops in here that Kenny Jank, Kenny Cocktail.
Yeah, he's like the Big Ten when they get 10 teams in a tournament.
Quantity, not quality.
Yeah. You made the Final Four, man. What are you doing?
I'm sorry that I don't say enough dumb things. I can't go head-to-head with Cat Williams.
No. No, look, Cat, to me, I was rooting for it. I was rooting against the chair drop. I wanted Cat to win. I was very pleased the committee went that way.
Well, that leads me to my final question here that you say that. You were rooting for the chair drop to lose.
Yes.
So for each of us, do you root for your own drop?
No.
Within the tournament?
No. I hate it.
No.
I goofed around and imitated Donald Sterling one time and look what happened. No, I didn't want to go back to back because I got mad about Chase Young. No.
You know what? I don't, because, well, I knew the first one, that Russell Wilson would. I was like, okay, thank God, because that was stupid. It should never.
I love that one.
I would have opted out and put caller Ron in there instead of me, and I think it would have been a battle. Just first game, oh my God, versus Cat Williams instead of that. But no, what I've learned is, thanks to the drop tournament and looking at Kenny, you're careful what you say throughout the year.
Well, including Kenny's hatred of minority jobs.
I mean, hey, you know what? He may not have won yesterday, but maybe he did, David. Mike didn't take the cheese.
No.
I tried to get him to say something.
No, you wanted me to say the line from Trading Places, and I no, no way. No.
That's the thing. Kenny takes the cheese every tournament. Mike says, I'm not saying that at all.
All right.
No, because it's. I really wanted that.
No. David, the first time you could see the gears spinning, he was like, wait, no, I can say, oh, no, not saying it. Like, he almost said it, like, oh, so close.
Well, it was the gears were going in Wojo's mind because he didn't say it the first time it came around.
Because the cost of doing it is forever. I don't want that to be my drop. If Kenny hates minority jobs, that's his business. I do not want to be a part of that. Rico baiting me into saying the Dan Aykroyd line. No way.
What was the line again, David?
Nope. You can hit the button if you want it. It was said in a movie for a reason. Try to get me to say that?
That would have sent you off to Saratoga in style.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It would have been stellar. Every day I'm not here, it would have been played 50 times.
Yeah, then you really wouldn't have come back.
Oh, no, I promise you this. I would have gone into the lab. I would have made a song.
Oh, yeah. I know. I would. And again, shame on you if you didn't. But I wasn't. I say enough goofy stuff, you can get things. But I wasn't doing that. I'm not a wind-up toy.
Well, all I'll say is I learned that I work with someone back here behind the glass
right. That
is really trying to stab me in the back.
He wants to take your job from you.
Now I know. And it's good to have it up front and not wonder.
I always thought Kenny was a hillbilly.
Is that why you took the picture earlier today?
What happened?
Let's move on.
What happened?
Certain celebrity in the building.
Okay, leave it alone.
And on that note,
yep, that's
that
right.
Is your wrap-up, 97.1.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.